The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of We're Done Here Pod. This week, we're here with the very funny comedian. I don't know, music producer? I don't know, but his name is Daddy. Give it up for Daddy.
Hello, 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 hello. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so Daddy, yeah, you do. You're a comedian, but you do a lot of other things too.
Yeah, I do stand up. Okay. I make music.
Yes.
And I'm a filmmaker as well.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's called, wait, Super Nigga? I don't know. Can we say that? Yes, we can. I would say that word.
We allowed.
Okay, that, we can say it.
Super Nigga is, yeah, nah, that's the movie I'm making.
Super Nigga. Wait, I saw, so you did an event at Littlefield in the summertime. There was a, you showed us Super Nigga, right?
Yeah, I showed, so people always think I made the whole movie, and so they're like, when are you going to put the movie out? And I'm like, no, we made the short film and as like a proof of concept.
Oh, got it.
And
okay,
so
okay.
Now we're working towards making the full thing.
Oh, wow, so it's going to be a Super Nigga,
yeah,
the whole thing.
It's a whole movie, yeah. Oh. Like, I wrote the feature first, and then I made the short as like to pitch around and
that's
stuff.
That's so funny. I can't wait for the movie. The Super Nigga movie to come out, even though I thought I saw it, the feature, but that was different. I don't know anything about filmmaking, so it's all very entertaining to me.
No, it's a whole ass process, and it's slow as hell, and then it moves very fast for some reason.
Okay, great. Well, yes. Well,
it's stressful.
I can imagine.
Imagine being Spike Lee making a movie every single year since 1981.
That's true. And half of them I don't even watch no more. No shade to Spike Lee. But anyway, so you do that. You also do the music.
Yeah.
What's the song called Coon?
You a Coon.
Oh, You a Coon.
You a Coon. Yes. You shout out the Coons, you know.
And I don't know about shout out to them, but.
Well, you know,
I like
Eric Adams.
Eric Adams is a Coon.
You know?
Hey, he's a true blue coon.
They're gonna be finding some coon secrets in his devices.
I can't wait for that black man. That's the only black man I'm waiting for his downfall. Yes, Eric. Can't wait.
Sometimes you gotta root for your own downfall a little.
Yeah, because he got voted because he was a coon. Okay, so there's a theme with your stuff. It's very black.
Yeah, you know.
So where do you come from, Daddy? What you just?
I come from the blackest place ever. I come from Africa.
Where's Africa? Where in Africa?
I was born in Egypt, but my parents are from the Congo. Congo and Senegal.
Oh, cool.
The heart of Africa, the heart of darkness. And cool. And then I traveled around a lot. Like, I was born in Egypt.
Okay.
Then
they're racist over there, right?
Yeah, you know.
That's what I heard. I heard on Instagram.
They don't want to acknowledge that the drawings are black people.
Yeah, I'm confused. But I don't know what they're so. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Everybody, we were talking about shit about the Arabs last week, so let's not talk about them this week. I don't want.
We'll give a little break right now.
Give them a break right now.
I'm just giving my support right now.
Yeah.
But. So then I moved from Egypt to Ireland.
Oh, that's random. The Irish are my favorite white people.
It's the niggas of the whites.
Yeah.
They just can't say nigga though.
That's true. Give it up for the Irish.
Yeah. They were, we have a common enemy, the British. The home of the racism.
Yeah, okay, great. So you lived in Ireland. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, 9 years. I was like, we were in the newspaper because we were...
Oh, as a black family?
Yes. They were like, niggas, front page.
Funny. That is very interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
But it was... I feel like, see, I'm going to try not to get into it too much, but I feel like when people talk, because, you know, people ask me, like, about racism over there, and I feel like there's, like, sometimes I'll be like, nah, like, you know, it wasn't racism. Like, it's you excusing it.
Yeah,
like, nah, they just had never met a black person before. But it's like, nah, it was racism.
No,
but
then
and then it's like, or the way people think about, like, Europe as, like, you know, oh, like, it's glamorized. Like, you know, in the past, like, you know, James Baldwin and them were, like, in France and, like, getting away from racism.
Yeah,
and
it's like, no.
But it's like, nah, niggas are still racist. They just talk about, it's just nigga, they just say nigger in a different accent.
It's not institutionalized.
Exactly.
Like, it is. Over here, so James Baldwin could walk into the front door, he didn't have to take a separate entrance.
Yeah,
that's the only difference.
Yeah,
like, we had
exactly.
Institutionalized racism in America and Europe. I mean, they still have institutionalized racism, but different.
Yeah,
they didn't have Jim Crow essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that kind of brings us to our topic this week.
But then I moved to Georgia. Sorry,
Oh, wait.
Which does bring us to our topic, too.
Oh, wait, how old were you when you moved to Georgia?
12.
Oh, yeah, that does bring us to our topic. Okay. Great. Now, back in the States where the racism is. So I think I told you guys that we are doing a series on racial trauma. I noticed recently that a lot of people of color, ethnic groups, LGBTQ groups, different religious minorities are just like facing a lot of trauma right now, it seems, on the internet. Also, hate crimes are up in the United States. Yay! So it's not in our heads. Yes, people of color, people who are different sexual orientations, people who have different religious affiliations are experiencing hate right now. And as a Black woman, I understand that brings trauma and how we deal with it. So I want to talk to Daddy about your racial trauma. Yeah. So let's deal with this in the next couple of minutes, right?
Just dive in.
How was it like to be Black?
No, tell us the Black journey in Ireland.
Yeah, tell us, Georgia. Let's start from there.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's the thing. Like, my childhood is very much because my dad would always ask me when I first started doing stand up. I'm a connective. When I first started doing stand up, my dad would always be like, "Why are you always talking about white people? Why? Like, can you talk about anything other than white people?"
I love talking about white people.
Yeah, I'm like, why not? At the time, I was like, I didn't really have an answer. I was like, I don't know. I just talk about race and racism. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I look at my first ever open mic like recording, and I was talking about race. And now, when I look back on like my childhood, I'm like, well, no wonder you was talking about race, thinking you were the only Black kid in Ireland. Then you moved to like Southern racist Confederate flags, Georgia. Like, it's like you are so aware.
Were
of,
you not in Atlanta?
Of race. No, I was like, at first, ooh, we were living in Lithonia, which is like near Decatur. Like, that's why Lloyd be like, Decatur where it's greater.
Yeah, okay.
And so, like we were living there, and that was like a Black area,
okay,
right?
Okay, got it.
And then from there, we moved to Marietta, Kennesaw area, which is both are like outside of Atlanta, but like the suburbs. And okay, the other one was like, so we went from like an all Black neighborhood to like hood adjacent neighborhood to all to like white, like Confederate flags, like on the back of the trucks and stuff.
Money?
What? No. Well, it was like, well, our house got broken into 3 times in 1 year in the hood.
Oh, and
so we're like,
okay,
we gotta go. Niggas, it's been cool, but we got to go. And then we were like, okay, now we just gonna have Confederate flags waved in our faces.
Like, okay,
but
let's see what the racist whites do.
Right? So it was just seeing different kinds of violence.
I totally understand.
Yeah, so I don't know. So when I look at like my work and everything, I'm like, well, no wonder you talk about race so much, even outside of my work. It's just these are just the thoughts in my head all the time. Like, you understand.
No, like, I understand. As an artist, it's like, how am I going to cope with all this bullshit? I'm going to talk shit about you on stage.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I talk shit about white people all day, every day. But, you know, on stage specifically.
Yeah.
And, you know, at work and, like, at home
just
and in
day.
The street. Like, to my white friends, I talk shit about white people in front of their faces. I love doing that. And it's great. Right. If you're cool, you're cool with it. If you're not, then you're the problem.
Exactly. That's why, like, when people will comment on, like, my TikToks or stuff, like the angry whites are like, you hate white people, you have no, I bet he has no white friends, I can't imagine.
You have so many white friends.
I got white friends, and they also deal with the same shit. It's not like you're gonna be white and around me and I'm gonna treat you differently. It's
yeah,
like I'm saying exactly what you see it online to your face.
Same.
And you know,
ooh, you good.
But yeah, so it's like, it's, yeah, it's like the work and the conversation in your just everyday life is,
got it.
It appears everywhere.
No, that makes sense. So tell us about some experiences when you were younger, kind of growing up, either in Ireland or in the Deep South,
yeah,
and like how that, I don't know, anything stands out for you? Like, when did you first experience like racial trauma at a particular point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single day that I took a breath. So I'll start from the beginning. I always remember being a kid in Ireland, and at the time it didn't mean anything. But like not that it didn't mean anything, but you don't have the context. Like the, I don't know, even just you're ignorant to
yeah,
race.
You don't pay attention to race when you're young.
It's like when do you learn that you're Black? And I feel like there's a difference between like when a Black person learns they're Black versus like when white people learn they're white.
Yes,
when you Black and learn that you're Black, it's like it's, you know, being other, like, some, it's some situation that makes you, it's like you're other, you're beneath.
Yeah.
And with white people, it's not, they don't discover their whiteness in, like, in the sense of, like.
Some white people never discover their whiteness. They're like, oh, we're just people.
They just realized in 2020, oh, shit, I'm white, you know? Like, so, it's like, so for me, I always think of, like, one time I was hanging out with this white kid when I was probably, we were probably 5 years old or mm-hmm. something. And we're just, like, in Ireland, just in a field, just hanging out, and I'm laughing at one point, and he, and like, we're just laughing about something, and he goes, oh, whoa, 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 like, freaks out for a second, like, hold on, wait, and I'm like, what? And he's like, do that again, and I'm like, what? And he's like, laugh, smile, and I'm like, why? And he's like, your gums, and I'm like, what about them? They're the same color as mine. And I'm like, he's just freaking out. I'm like, what did you think? Like it's shit like that where it's like, I would never even say that to someone else or thing. And like, where does this come from for them?
No,
but
that's
like,
true.
It's like you, so it's like your trauma as a black person or as a black child is created by like white people's ignorance.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
or
yes.
they know what they're doing, but like, it's always some kind of like your different, like, it's like just it's like you realizing that they didn't see us as the same kind of human being or anything.
Yeah, they weren't looking at it like you were looking at it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we're all human. They were like, no, you're different, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you don't need to... I was saying for me in Astoria mm-hmm. growing up, it was like being a black kid, because mm-hmm. there's not that many black people in Astoria. Mm-hmm. I realized that like, oh, my good friend would be like, oh, you can't come to our house because my dad doesn't like black people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more like, in your face. So the Irish seemed nice.
Yeah, no. But then that's the thing. And then like we were like it was that's why I say like the racism is you're dealing more so with like classism and like just a difference in it's just ignorance to your culture. And
yes,
then
that makes sense.
Over time, as they get to know more and more black people, then they're like, oh, okay, like, cool, we all the same.
Like,
whatever.
All you niggas are saying. Anyway, yeah. Everybody, we're all the same. We like the same thing. No, that makes
sense.
But
they're still going to be like, okay, you're still going to get called the N-word or something, like if someone gets upset or whatever.
And then
but like,
did you ever get the, it's like, oh, those people, but you're okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got a lot
yeah.
of that, which I hate. It's like, no, bitch, I'm not the safe Negro. I'm the dangerous Negro.
It's like, I'm reporting everything you're saying back to the squad. We coming to beat your ass tomorrow.
Because I like, ain't the safe one.
I definitely got that a lot. And then, because my mom grew up in like traveling around Europe a lot. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like she
as Africans do.
Yeah. So like, my dad and her had like my dad grew up like poor and like in like you know in Africa.
Yeah.
And so they had very much different experiences. She was a lot more open to like Western culture.
Yeah.
And
got it.
So. I don't know. So it's like easier to assimilate to the two.
Got it. That makes sense.
But at the same time, it's like, no, nigga, we still niggas. So like, you know, don't feel comfortable and feel like you can say whatever you want. And then, so I'll jump over to then coming to America where like you get the ultimate wake up call when you like, especially moving to the hood where you like my brother and I, like we were obsessed with like, black American culture. And we're like, oh my God, we about to be like we were so excited to live in the hood because like we're just listening to rap music and like watching music videos in Ireland. Now we're like, oh shit, we about to be black.
Nope.
And so right. And then you realize, oh, you African. And then so
it's like, you African nigga, African right. police man. No, I'm African but, too. So yeah, I remember those.
But
things.
Which, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But for me it was like coming to America and like being exposed like learning about like police brutality and and not even just that, but like then having like a black teacher for the first, like my first ever black teacher in seventh grade. And this was like a very like woke before what, you know, what people saying woke today.
Yeah.
But like, very much like a black teacher that was like, I'm going to teach you guys like the curriculum,
but I'm also
going to tell y'all the truth and
like
really educate us. And so I'm like, it's like when Neo comes out of the Matrix, Morpheus is like, nigga, you a slave. Like, you thought you knew shit? And just like breaking to that. And like on the first day I come to class, he's like, they're learning about Egypt. And like, he's like, where are you from? I'm like, Egypt. And he's like, y'all see this? This is what our ancestors were. So I'm like, learning, you know, it was cool to have like this black teacher that is like, don't know, just opening up your mind to like,
no, for sure.
It's like some Hotep shit at the same time, but at the same
no,
time.
No, that's just Hotep.
But a lot of real shit, and like, you know, no, really sure. educating us on like who we are.
Yeah.
And so especially in that environment where you're in Georgia,
you
where like
that.
Yeah.
Because you could have been a coon.
Exactly, bro.
Imagine.
Exactly.
Like a Clarence Thomas.
Exactly. You in the state where like the Klan like was created, you know,
yeah.
Stone Mountain, Georgia and shit. So like I feel like not to be a cliche, but it all starts. Education begins at a young age.
Education does begin at a young age, and I like the fact that you brought that up because I do think there's a difference between like decolonized education.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mom gave me the Diary of Malcolm X when I was 10, but my dad's African, he's Liberian.
Mm-hmm.
He was on some coon shit.
Yeah.
Cause you know how Africans they've been
voting Republican.
Right, yeah. It's like, nigga, are you? It's like, you know what I mean?
Didn't the Liberians not fuck, was it Liberia or Libya where they didn't fuck with African Americans?
Well, like, you know, Liberia was colonized by African Americans, technically.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
But Libya, the Arabs are kind of racist, but that's a different story. We're not gonna talk shit about them again, remember? I'm gonna get banned off Instagram.
But Liberia, didn't they give Michael Jackson, doesn't he have a village named after him in Liberia?
He did make a song, Liberia Girl.
Yeah,
I think he
I don't know if he has a village named after him or if he's like crowned like royalty there or something.
I don't know. He probably, you know how Africans be doing shit like that.
Yeah,
that's
Michael Jackson.
Like, you come here with us.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So tell me how that manifests kind of as it relates to your like trauma, like self care. Cause I remember, I don't know if you remember doing George Floyd getting killed. And that was the impetus for me. I didn't realize that I had like this racial trauma. You know, they said it's passed down to their ancestors.
Yeah.
And we carrying black trauma in our bones. Or whatever the fuck they say.
Yeah.
But like, when did it affect you mentally? And like, how do you deal with it mentally?
Mm. Man, it's funny. I feel like, I don't know. I'm like, there's, because I think of like the times where I guess was when I started having the conversations around it was I started in college, which was or even like a little before college. I don't know. I think like my last year of high school, for some reason, I would like I had a like a early dismissal, like when you you know, you finish the day early. So I would go on like one day out of the week or something. And so for some reason, I just started going to the library and I would just read books in the back. Like I was read the Frederick Douglass autobiography.
Oh,
like
yeah,
just
it's a great autobiography.
In the city,
yeah.
When he beats his slave master's ass and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that needs to be in a movie one day.
That's, Revolution.
Yeah, that is my dream. But like, so I would go to the library and I was just reading and like, and then like eventually like going to college. And I think at the time when I was beginning film school, it was when you're having like all the Black Lives Matter protests that were happening in 2013 and 2014, and like with Eric Garner and everything.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that was a period where, okay, I'm alone in a new city by myself for the first time, like, you know, not with my family. I'm beginning adulthood.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing all this happening in the world around me. And and I'm also starting to find my interest and voice as an artist.
Yeah.
So I guess I had like the outlet to just start having the conversation and question like, what the hell is all this?
Yeah.
So I don't know. For me, it's like when you get to a year like 2020 and you're seeing white people just learn this shit, I was like, nigga, how? Like, I'm not even from this country. And like, why? Like, because, you know, sometimes white people look at me like, you know, especially when they don't know that I'm like African, not African American.
Yeah.
They you know, they'll talk about like, oh, you know, like I'll never understand, you know, race, like the struggles of black people in America like you. And I'm like, yeah, in a way, because like, you know, you're white and I'm black, like, so automatically I can relate to African American quicker. But I'm like, but this is your country before it's even my country.
No, that's true. They
like,
don't. They, yeah,
this
yeah.
is your history. This is your like.
But they don't.
These
they
are
don't,
your
they
people.
Don't
but
learn
they don't,
the history.
Yeah,
that's
and they
the
don't
thing.
Look at it as like, okay, African American are like my people and like their history and their struggle.
Yeah, they don't
and
look at it like that.
Trauma
like,
is
other,
mine.
It's other.
Yeah.
They're the mainstream. Everyone else is, even though they won't be the mainstream. Mm-hmm. That's why they're doing this weird I don't know, the Republicans talk about the white replacement.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
I'm like, y'all niggas is wild.
People always feeling like they losing and getting replaced and shit. And it's like,
because they guilty. Y'all niggas is guilty.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah, so I feel like, so if you're white in the United States, you can basically isolate yourself and never talk to a person of color. Whereas people of color never have that privilege. Yeah. We have to learn the white way.
You have to assimilate in some way. You have to navigate the white world to move up in
and
some
America
sense.
In general makes assimilation so important to the process. While I don't know, appropriating culture. It's very, it's wild. Yeah, the American experiment is wild.
White people are like, you are not going to leave us out of this, nigga. Oh, you thought you was going to have your little kitchen over there? No, we got our hand in it, too.
Yeah, so it's just like, when you think about it like that, yeah, a lot of the people are just ignorant and are the way our system, or our education system teaches a history that is a whitewash history. So you learn, you literally learn nothing.
Well, I mean, that and that's the thing when I go back to, when I think about Ireland and Europe, like how they say, you know, there's no racism in you know, white privilege is an American thing. But then it's like, well, nigga, all we ever learned about black history in Europe is Martin Luther King.
And Europe too?
And that's it.
It's why like, Why the fuck they always talk about Martin Luther King?
The colonization. They don't even get into the truth of colonization. It's just like, oh, you know, we went to Africa and we made some countries and had a little bit of like a kingdom there.
And then
we gave it back and that was it.
You gave shit back. You know, in Liberia, there's a huge, Liberia produces like 80% of the world's rubber. I'm sure Congo, you niggas is.
I mean,
blood diamonds
and everything.
It's
like that's what.
Isn't there that's a different country. But anyway, this is the Congo, genocide they got, going on.
Yeah, I mean, in the Congo, a big thing is coltan, which is used for the chips to make your for your iPhone.
And the
and
Europeans
everything.
Are still have their hand, their grubby ass hand.
Yeah,
but they try. Yeah, they be trying that.
Going all the way back to King Leopold, you know, like
Europe
so when they
problem.
Were chopping. Black people's hands off, you know?
Yeah.
So, working in mines. So, yeah, it's there's a lot of history that is not being acknowledged.
So you kind of use your art as a release. Do you do anything else to like just be like, because it's you know, it's annoying every day. Honestly, a lot of white people are lucky that we don't beat their ass every day. So how do you stop yourself from beating a white man's ass? Tell me. Like, how do you do it? Because I have to control myself a lot of the time. How do you do it? How do you like stop, not be angry and like more be like, I understand this person's worldview. They're not as, I don't know, they just don't understand a different perspective. How do you deal with that?
So you mean like when you're actually engaging with someone?
Or like just like self-care, just being black in America. How do you deal?
It's a struggle. I feel like I was living with my partner like 2 years ago, last year. We used to live together, and I always laugh at like the being her seeing me wake up in the morning. Like you wake up next to me, and I just got my phone out, and I'm just scrolling through like the internet, and I'm watching like some random like Black Panther speech back
I love
in the 60s,
a good Black
or like
speech.
Reading about Lumumba, you know, and shit, and you're just like. Just, you wake up and the first thing you take in is like history, which is cool, but then it's also more trauma. And you're just like, God damn it. White people, like you just wake up already mad at the world. Yeah. Like, God damn it, they doing it again. Or you get banned on TikTok or some shit for saying the truth.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard. I feel like I'm in a place in life where I'm trying to figure out like, what are my outlets beyond my work?
Okay,
because,
got it. Yeah.
Because for me, it's like, I do express, even outside of race, but like in general, I express out through my work more than anything else. Like
yeah,
that's
you
my,
really do.
That's,
yeah.
That's my self-care. Like it's like, if you want to know what's going on in my life, you just got to look at my work at
no,
the time.
No, that's true, yeah.
And
that makes
so,
sense.
But it's like, but I'm learning, you know, that can't be the only way.
That can't
it's
be
like,
the only way. There has to be other ways.
Yeah, you have to, you know, whether it's like expressing and, you know, having conversation and because I'm I don't know, maybe because I'm an Aquarius, I rationalize my emotions more than just feeling them. I'm getting it. I'm trying to journal because I feel like
journal is good.
I feel like in the past I would only journal about like work stuff. It's like, okay, what's going on with Super Nigga? Like, where am I at with like comedy and this and that?
Yeah.
But now it's like, okay, no, like really break down like what do you feel? You know, what it like, how does this make you feel?
How are you processing this? Because you know black men die of like heart attacks faster and all this other shit. And the only thing they can equate it to.
We surpass white men in depression.
Yeah, the only thing they can equate it to is the racism, apparently. Yeah. Like, we will die sooner. I don't know why black women be holding on so long, but like, we be living longer than you niggas. I find a lot of, I do a lot of activism. Mm. For me, that helps. I work in the nonprofit sector, so I'm able to actively help communities of color every day. Mm-hmm. So I have embedded it in my work and like kind of like in my volunteerism and things of that nature. And now through comedy, I'm actually less angry at white people than you are through my comedy because I do have those other outlets.
Yeah.
But yeah, good. I think it's good that you're kind of considering journaling and other things and kind of going through this journey about what else you could do.
Even like, even just what you're saying about getting actually active, because I feel like, that's like, even if you look at what's going on right now with like Israel Palestine, there's a lot of people that are going to be posting, tweeting,
but they ain't doing shit.
What do you do beyond? because it's like people feel the pressure to say something, which is like, I think you should say something,
but we ain't
got to
hear from everybody,
but it's like, but. Do something.
Do something.
And like,
yeah.
And you know, I just even lately, just when I was watching this documentary by this director Agnes Varda about like the Black Panther Party. It's like a 30-minute documentary, and you're just watching this, and you're like, oh, these are like, you know, 19-year-olds, early 20-year-olds who are making alliances with like the government in like Libya, in Egypt, in with Cuba, and so you're just like.
Farmers,
yeah,
even.
You know, and even like Angela Davis recently,
Appalachia, that's what it's called.
So it's like I was listening to even Angela Davis talking about, you know, what's going on today and like what's creating an actual movement for, you know, fighting for liberation of all people as opposed to, okay, we're all tweeting, like that's cool, we're making TikToks,
but
tweeting.
You're not, what are you doing?
But, yeah, because that's like how you're saying. It does reduce the anger because you're actually putting in work and you're seeing result. It's like, okay, let me channel the frustration into actionable items.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just being pent up and you're just like spewing like, I'm angry. I hate white people. Da, 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 da. It's like, okay, cool. I can acknowledge that. And now let's work together
because you actually need white people to solve racism.
Yeah, in a sense. Yeah,
so you have to work. Yeah, you have to all have to work together. You kind of have to come from a place of compassion.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you need white people. You also need them to hold themselves accountable.
Yeah,
because it's like that's why when I would say like. White people should not fear being called racist.
No,
it's like
because everybody's racist.
Yeah, you're gonna do some shit, but now it's like, how do you respond to that? Like, if you did, like, I'm not racist, and then you start getting mad because people, it's like, don't be so afraid of that word. It's like, you can learn, you can grow, you can, like, I mean, there's some things that are not redeemable, but like, for the most part, it's like, just acknowledge it and let's do the work. You do some work on your own. I don't want to educate you, let's move forward and also help me put money in my pockets and help niggas out. But like, yeah, we all need to work together in a sense, but niggas also need our own spaces.
So we can feel safe. I love that. I love what you're saying. So like building community, but also making sure I would like to also because I've been activism for a while. There is a self-care lens to that because a lot of people be doing like, you know, you're going to protest, you're out there, you're putting your body, your life on the line. You have to. Yeah, there's some form of self-care. Mm-hmm. So what's up? You be dressing well. What other self-care you be doing?
I got into exercising, into like martial arts.
You being a karate nigga.
I've been doing like Bruce Lee's like Jeet Kune Do. I got into that like over the summer.
Okay.
And because also Super Nigga gonna do martial arts.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
But it's for me. It's like it's been. Fun to just do something that's you know, you get away from all the work, you get away from the world, you just, it's like 40, like an hour, just an intense focus on like,
God, I like that.
You take care of your body, you're exercising, you're moving, you're sweating. Because I would go through periods of life where I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna exercise, but then it'd be like a week and then I stop, and then and I just was always like, I don't feel the need. But then doing this, it's like, it is like a discipline. It does also, you know, help with focus and just like it's a meditation. So that's a way of like just calming down and also getting the frustration out, like hitting a heavy bag and stuff. So, Yeah, that helps. And then I got into biking. And then I just ride around and then take care of your skin.
Not take care. You got to get some good skin. Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Daddy, for kind of taking us through that journey with you. So, okay, we're kind of done with racial trauma, but it's a lifelong struggle. But is there anything like you're not done with? Like, what are you not done with?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess this kind of connects to there's two things. For one, I'll say just hip hop. I feel like
you're not done with hip hop.
I'm not done, but
you can be done with it.
No. Well, I guess because I was just thinking about like all this. Never mind. It's gonna be too depressing.
Okay. Don't be talking about sexy red neither.
Well, I guess let me take a sip of water too.
Everyone's talking about sexy redheads.
Okay. So I guess something that I'm not done with that's positive. Man, I'm not done with like talking my shit. I feel like people should talk. I know you said it should be something about pop culture, but this is so important. I feel like, and I'll connect it to like even Tyler the Creator, like at his festival just recently, Camp Flognaw, talking about like how people criticize him for having like an ego.
Yeah.
And when he explains the things he does in interviews. And he was like, they're like, he has such a big ego. He believes in himself too much. He's so cocky. And he's like, I am. Yes, the fuck I am. Like,
okay.
That's because I think, especially as black people, I think, and sorry to bring it back to race again.
No, but you can do it. It's hard. That's what you be doing.
I can't not talk about race. But like, I feel like if you're black, especially in America, but just in the world, you should be talking so much shit. Like you should, or in your way, but like, I feel like we gotta
be unapologetic.
Yeah. Be unapologetic. Like it is so dope to be black. We are creating everything. We are everything. So
with
it's
the
like,
pop culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like at the end of like pop is rap. Like Ariana Grande is, if you listen, if Migos had her songs, you would be like, it's a rap
we
song.
We created every pop of music.
She using their ad-libs and everything. So yes. Like, but regardless, even just society, we created society. Egypt. But
oh,
like,
that's right. You keep talking about Egypt, nigga.
I gotta go back to my roots. But like, nah, I feel like we have to talk our shit. You have to talk healthily and beautifully to yourself.
So you're not done with boasting. Yeah, you're gonna boast your shit.
But in a wholesome way, don't be a douchebag for sure. Yeah. But like, because, you know, I feel like we live in a world where if you're black, you are being produced with so many images that are meant to put you down.
Yeah.
And like, you know, whether even when you're, you know, like we say, when you're decolonizing your mind, it's easy to look at it as like, oh, shit, damn, look at all that's happened to us. But then at the same time, it's like, well, you got to like, we got to build ourselves back up, you know?
No, and
like,
that's true. That is true.
So, yeah, I feel like people need to talk their shit. And be loud and be black and be proud. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to end the episode. Thank you so much, Daddy.
Thank you.
Okay, great. That's been another episode of We're Done Here.